You've never, how many, I guess all of you have heard John Hall at one time or another. Everybody here heard John Hall? I'll tell you one thing. When you hear John Hall, you remember that you have heard John Hall. He is anointed of God. Is that right? Well, anyway, it's a blessing to be here, as I said, and I just believe that God has something good for us here tonight. And I just want to follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. You know, many times I come prepared with messages when I come here to preach or when I travel in other places or when I'm preaching in Dallas. But, you know, sometimes the Holy Ghost just comes and there's stuff down on the inside that he just starts bringing out. And what you have prepared is not for that particular moment. So I just like to be open and ready to hear what God has to say, don't you? But I was thinking, you know, when Pastor Bob asked me to, I believe it was Friday when he called me and asked me if I would speak here this evening, and I began to meditate and I began to pray about what he would want me to talk about here this evening. And I believe one of the things that God wants me to share with you is about our future, our destiny. And you know, I look through the Bible, and I see that God is a good God. Everybody say, God's a good God. And I think when we can establish that thought and believe that and never allow anything to disturb those beliefs on the inside of us, whatever happens through the day, through the week, through the month, that shouldn't change because things around you change. Amen? And I see some people from time to time get weary and discouraged because things change. And they say, well, God is not treating me right. God treats everybody right. You know, it's sad sometimes when we have loved ones that pass before they should, or we believe they should. And sometimes I see people get mad at God and they feel like if I don't serve God or I don't talk to God or I don't go to church for a long time, then maybe I can get God's attention and he'll get over, he'll help me or something sometime or another. But you know, getting mad at God doesn't ever resolve or solve a problem. You know, not long ago, someone was in our house doing some repair work, and I just happened to be there, and the gentleman was talking, and his wife had a miscarriage, and then they had a stillbirth. And he was talking to me about how mad he had been at God because of these two things that happened to his wife and obviously to him as well, because he being the father. Well, you know, I don't think any of us can answer the question why things happen. But I know one thing. I know that God is good even when bad things happen. I talk about this a lot because people are always talking to me about these issues. And I see people get angry. I mentioned this somewhere recently. You know, I know some people that went to a church and they said the pastor didn't let them do something. And they had really prepared for this. Well, they got mad at the pastor and left church and didn't go to another church, just quit serving God. Went back to the bars and all of this, you know, And I often wonder why someone would let somebody else get you mad at God. Why do we let someone else dictate how we're going to serve God? When God's word is right there and God tells us in his word how much he loves us and he tells us that things will come, things will go. He says offenses will come. He tells us everything in his word. All we have to do is meditate in his word. And you know, after Moses died, God told Joshua, he said, if you want to be successful in the work that I've called you to do to take the people on into the promised land, he said, I want you to meditate in my word day and night. I want you to keep it before you, because if you will keep my word before you, think about it, meditate on it, and obey it, he said, you will be a success. So one of the things that I think is good, I often say to people, good things or bad things don't happen to me because I'm a preacher. God doesn't do things for me because I'm a preacher. God does things for us, our family, when we obey God. And we're just like you. You know, we have to walk by faith every day. Amen? See, it's not because we're ministers of the gospel that sometimes things happen good and our prayers are answered, but it's because we do our best to be obedient to the word and do what the word of God says. And I want to tell you this, no matter what might have happened last month, last week, today, or whenever in a relationship, financially, physically, I want to tell you something, God didn't do anything to hurt you. I said, God did not do anything to hurt you, and God will never hurt you. You know, I hear people sometimes even talking and saying, well, I'm going through this because God is punishing me. God is correcting me and punishing me. No, God doesn't punish people. When we miss the mark, when we do something wrong, we just open the door to let the devil in. And the Bible says in Ephesians, it says, give no place to the devil. And that word place means room. So God doesn't want us to give room to the devil, but when we do, 1 John 1 and 9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. So I just want to tell you that God's a good God. I love serving God. I'm glad my mama was an old-fashioned Pentecostal that prayed. I'm glad my mama drugged me to church. You know, we talk about drugs today, and I know you've heard somebody say this before, but, you know, I never took drugs in my life, but I was drugged a whole lot. I was drugged many times in all-night prayer meetings. Mother would pray, and she would have all-night prayer meetings in our home, and when we would have all these all-night prayer meetings in our home, a lot of times, you know, the prayer would be sometimes 2 and 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, they wasn't sitting. I mean, they had coffee and they had little cakes and stuff. But, you know, they didn't sit there and eat and have cake and coffee and then every now and then say a prayer. They prayed for hours and then they'd have some coffee. I mean, we had prayer meetings. So I just want to tell you, I'm glad I got the background that I have. I'm glad that I got the background that I have. Amen. You know, I want to read from the book of Psalms, chapter 139. You know, these scriptures in Psalms 139 are always a blessing to me. I go and I read them often because it just helps me to know that God is always thinking about me. You know, somebody told me recently, they said, well, I just cried all day long. I said, well, why did you cry all day long? Well, I was sad. I said, well, why was you sad? Well, because I was thinking about sad things. Well, let me share something with you. Psalms 139, verse 14, I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wow. I could stop right there and I could preach probably a couple of hours. I will praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. So look at that right there. When we would just meditate on that thought right there, we can see that God has us in mind. He said, marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. When my frame was not hidden from you, when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me. And one version says, you saw me before I was born, and every day of my life was recorded in your book. And in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. One version says, you are thinking about me constantly. Wow. So when I stop and begin to evaluate life, you know, people, I say it sometimes, life is not fair. But, you know, I don't sit around and think about life not being fair. I sit around thinking about that you are thinking about me constantly, and every moment was laid out before a single day passed. Now, what I want to tell you is we all have a destiny. We all have a future. And we all know, I believe we all know, or we've read it or you've heard it, where the Bible tells us in Jeremiah, where he says that, I know what I'm doing, I have it all planned out, plans to take care of you, not abandon you, plans to give you the future you hope for. So when we stop and begin to read the Bible is good. You know, we had Tim Barton at our church this morning, David Barton's son. And he was talking about how the Bible, scientists found out things by going to the Bible, and how now many scientists that did away with the Bible are realizing the Bible, there is more things in the Bible to tell them about things. And you know, it's something how we have the Bible in our house, and many people never read it until they hear a preacher read a scripture. And if a preacher only reads one or two scriptures, that's about all they get to hear. But you know, the Bible, the Word of God, is what I want to share with you, that it can become a part of you and will guide your footsteps and will lead you. See, I believe, as I said, I believe God has good plans for His people. It's His will for you to prosper and be in health. But it's up to us also to do our part. See, God just didn't make Adam and Eve in the garden. God didn't just make Adam and Eve in the garden and then just turn them loose. But God gave them some instruction. God gave them instruction. God planned good for Adam and Eve. God didn't plan for Adam and Eve to sin. Adam and Eve planned their sin. Come on, help me out here tonight. See, many times, as I said, when things are going the way are, many people start to complain, they start to grumble, and they start saying, God's not fair, God doesn't answer my prayer, nothing good ever happens for me. But you see, we got to go back to what he said. The Word of God, the Bible says, is alive. It's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. So I believe for you and me, God got something good for us all the time. I just believe what the Bible says, that the devil is going to and fro seeking whom he may devour. And I've used that scripture many times in my messages wherever I've preached around the world. And one of the things that you can do, the more the Word of God you have in your heart and in your mouth, in your thinking, the more when Satan comes to you, you're going to recognize Satan is trying to get you off of the path that God has destined for you. See, God's got a good destiny for you. And he said, I'm always thinking about you. He said, I saw you before you were ever born, and every day on my book was already recorded. So God's got something good for us. God never planned for us to do bad things, to be hurt, to be sick, to be diseased. God planned for us to be good. Now, you might come up and say, now, why this and why that? I don't have the answers to all your whys, but I have the answer. One thing that I know, God is good, and God only does good things. God does not do bad things. If I said amen and went home, I feel like I would have done a good job tonight, because I'm serving a good God, and my God is not dead. My God is alive. He heals. He still delivers. He still sets free. Amen. God still does good things. See, I think, you know, when we talk about destiny, I think a lot of people don't realize, even though God's got a destiny or a plan for us, what really happens is, and what determines a lot of things, are the decisions that we make. Many times we make the decisions that's not in the will of God. How many can say amen to that? You know, in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, it says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Boy, isn't that just simple? See, that's not complex, is it? That's simple. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we ask of him. Well, you see, Psalms 37, 23 and 25, in the Amplified Bible, it says, the steps of a good man are directed and established by the Lord when he delights in his way, and he busies himself with his every step. So when we talk about our destiny, when we talk about our future, God has good plans, and he knows what he wants for us before we were ever born. But it's up to us to take the choice or make the choice that's going to please God. Is anybody in the room tonight? He said, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the uncompromisingly righteous or their seed begging bread. I'm telling you, folks, I appreciate the old days of ministry. I really do. I remember the tent days. Oh my goodness. I'll never forget going to Columbus, Mississippi. I remember I had a tent that was 120 feet long. It was 60 feet wide. I was poor as I could be. I mean, you know, we had a truck and we had all the stuff in there and a car. And so when we had a little team that traveled with us, and when we pulled into Columbus, Mississippi, I had enough money to buy a few radio spots. We rented this little old place, and we all shared one bathroom, and we was all sharing there together. But you know, I didn't know we were poor. I didn't know things wasn't good. Yeah. Nobody told me. I got to preach the gospel. There you go. Amen. And I remember pulling the big truck on the fairgrounds there in Columbus, Mississippi. And we started laying stuff. Back then, I had to put the tent up too. I had to pull canvas, and I had to drive stakes, and I had to unfold chairs out of the truck and do the same thing that everybody else was doing. And I never forget, one day we were out there and we had the tent all stretched out, and it was a little while before that we was ready to get in and start winching the tent up. And this guy drove up, and And I happened to come out, and I was all dirty. And he said, "Is the preacher around?" I said, "You're talking to him." He said, "Oh, you mean you got to do this?" I said, yeah, what's wrong with it?" I said, "Somebody's got to get it up. Somebody's got to do the work." He said, "Well, I want to tell you, ain't nobody has a meet." Of course, he was real Southern. "Ain't nobody has meetings here. You might as well roll this canvas back up, put it back in that truck, and get yourself out of here and go on somewhere else, because you ain't going to do no good here." I said, "Thank you for the welcome." I said, "I appreciate your welcome." Now, folks, I want to tell you something. What if I would have let that guy's words got into my thinking? See, how many times does someone come to us and tell us something, or something happen in our life, and we let that one moment of time change our destiny or cause us to make a decision that will not please God? We're not taking the will of God. We're taking the will of carnality, the will of man. And I just looked at him, and he told me his name and this and that and the other, you know. And as I said, we'd got us a... It was a little place to stay. It wasn't much. I'm telling you, it wasn't much. Trust me, it wasn't much. But we were grateful. We were grateful. Our daughter, you know, she was young, and she was running around and doing stuff, you know. But here we were. We were all working, putting the tent up. And this guy said, "Well, you want to come and help?" And he said, "No, I ain't. Just pardon me. I'm just trying to imitate him. No, I ain't going to help you, because you ain't going to do no good. You ought to get that stuff and get out of here." I looked at him and I said, "Well, you know, I don't have the money to go anywhere else." I said, "I used all my money that I have to get here, and I got the money for a free radio spot." So he said, "You ought to use that money and get out of here rather than go run some radio spots." I said, "You know what? I'm going to go run those radio spots right now." I said, "I was going to wait a few days before I did that, but I said, you know what? I'm going to go run those radio spots right now." I said, "Do you know where the radio station is?" He told me. I said, "Yeah, would you like to go along with me?" He said, "No, I ain't going to be a part of this thing." He said, "I'm not a part of failures." So I remember I got some, we had some water there, and I cleaned my face off, and I went to the radio station, and I said, "I want to buy some radio spots. I'm a preacher. I'm putting my tent up on the fairgrounds." And I don't remember, you know, I whatever we had, I took all the money, just except maybe just a few dollars, enough to buy a little something to eat. And I bought these radio spots, and so they started playing on the radio, you know, that the crusade was coming to Columbus, Mississippi. You know, if anybody's ever been to Columbus, Mississippi, Columbus, Mississippi isn't really the most exciting city in the world, but there's some great people there. So I did say something good about you, Columbus. Well, you know, this guy just was sent, I think, by the devil to harass me. And I remember coming back, and a little while later, I got back and we was working. We finally got the canvas up in the air, and we were putting in the center, not the center poles, but the quarter poles, and then the side poles. And we had the tent up, and he said, "Man, here he come again." You know, I saw him coming. I said, "Here comes that guy." I said, let's just get an agreement that this guy will get this devil stuff out of his mind. I said, "I just believe God sent me here to Columbus, Mississippi. So let's just pray and believe God." Well, you know, he got out of the car, come under the tent, and I said, "Now, aren't you afraid this tent might fall on you or something?" I said, you've cursed us now. You ought to be a..." He said, I just can't believe you." I said, "Hey, I ran those spots, and they're going to start playing in the morning. And I said, I want you to turn your radio on and listen." I said, "After every preacher that's on, I said, I got radio spots that's coming on talking about this revival." He said, "Well, that's all you're going to do is talk." Now, you know, I could have let him determine my decisions. But I believe I had heard from God to go to that city. I really believe that, John. I really believe that God wanted me to go to that little old Columbus, Mississippi. And I'll never forget it. We finally got the day, and the day the meeting started, and sure enough, you know, we got the organ cranked up, and, you know, everything was going, the PA, and we were all excited. You know, I had my tie on, and, you know, we were, and our little bunch was there, you know, and not very many more people were there. I mean, they were just a very few amount of people there. But you know what? I didn't let that guy's thinking determine how I was going to preach that night and how I was going to obey God that night. I just started preaching and praying and believing God, and I gave the altar call, and one out of that little bunch came and gave their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, somebody say thank you, Jesus. One came and gave their heart to the Lord Jesus. And you know, back in those days, what they would do, they would pull the cars up and stand in front of the car, sit on the car. And I don't remember what kind of car he had, but I remember him standing out there in front of his car with his arms folded, just watching me and just almost just. And he was a believer. He was a believer. Well, that person got saved. I'm telling you, I got so excited. I just give Jesus a great big hand clap. And so after the service was over, he came under and came down. And he said, well, I told you, you wouldn't listen to me. I said, a soul came in to the kingdom of God tonight. How dare you? How could you say anything negative about this meeting? A person made a decision to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, we have had success already. He said, boy, what's wrong with you? I said, I just love God, and I believe God's got something good in this town. Well, you know what? The next night, we didn't have very many more, but we had a few more. And those radio spots were still popping, you know. And so, you know, I'd just get out there and pray and believe God and watch for cars to come in. You know, they weren't pouring in. We was watching for them to come in one at a time. I mean, that's how it is. But, you know, they weren't just bumper to bumper. Every now and then, one would come in. And then sometimes they would sit there and decide whether they were going to get out or not. They would look in and to see him. They wanted to. But I'll never forget. 3 or 4 nights passed, you know, and it began to increase, you know. And 5, 6, 7 nights passed, and it began to increase. And we got up to about 40 or 50 people. Well, now, the tent would seat several hundred people. Now, that wasn't one of my big tents. This is in the beginning days, the 60 by 120. Because when we were doing the bigger meetings, they were 90 by 340 and 120 by 300 when we were in the bigger days of the tents, those that would seat 5,000 and 6,000, 7,000 people. But this one was just a few hundred, but I was glad to get 40 under there. Man, I'm telling you, I felt like, I mean, even though we had bigger crowds in other places, when we got 40 there, I felt like, man, we have really had a crowd. Well, you know, when we got 40, he never would come in the tent. He would stand out and stand on the front or sit on the fender of his car, you know, and just watch to see what was going on. But, you know, after about 12 days, we started having somebody had a blind eye, got a blind eye open. Somebody that had deaf ears got healed. A cripple started walking. And the altar just kept night after night. People just start coming and getting saved. One after another coming and getting saved and getting delivered. So finally, I looked out there one night, and he was sitting on the back row of the tent. That was so funny. He was sitting inside the tent on the back row when there was a couple of hundred people there. I mean, we had grown 200 people. That was a lot of people, Brother Charlie. Then. And I remember, boy, I'm telling you, it just began to glow and the momentum began to build. And so I got some money and we put some more radio spots on and we put more radio spots on, and I ran an ad in the newspaper. And then all at once, you could look up there and be there around close to 7 o'clock at night, and it wasn't a car going, But it was zoom, 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 zoom. Them cars was coming in. I mean, I was out there saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I looked, and we were getting down. We were really now way into this thing. The tent was full. God was just blessing and healing and delivering people and setting them free. Lives was being changed. And I looked, and he was middle ways. Sure was, sitting on the middle ways. And on the last night, when you couldn't get in, and when their people were standing on the outside and you couldn't get in, he was on the front row. He was on the front row. He said, I knew if anybody could break it, you could break it. Now, I don't know why I'm telling this story. I hadn't even thought of it in years. Hadn't even thought about this in years. But you know what? My decisions determine what happened there. See, your decisions can determine your victories. Amen? So, when you get up in the morning, when you leave here tonight, think about your decisions. Think about your decisions. See, I could have said some real ugly things to him like he was saying to me, but you know, I just decided that he didn't call me to Columbus, Mississippi, and he wasn't going to cause me to leave Columbus, Mississippi. How many times have you let someone, some circumstance, someone take away the blessing or the future things that God has for you because you listen to the wrong voice? My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Amen. So I want to tell you, make the right decision. Make the right decision. When someone's trying to make you angry, or let me say this, you know, people say, they just made me angry. No, it's a decision you made to let anger take you over. Oh, I've been angry before, and I've allowed people to say things, and I've gotten angry when they have said them. Yes, I have. I've had to repent. Amen? But I can't turn around and say, you made me angry. Again, it's easy to blame, but our decisions determine what happens. God has good things. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we have the petitions that we desired of Him. See, it's just that simple. See, somebody may be doing something that is emotionally distracting you and hurting you and disappointing you, but you still have a choice to make the right decision. Is anybody in the room tonight? See, again, we want to blame someone when something doesn't go our way or it didn't happen. We want to blame someone. I don't want to blame anybody. I just want to love the Lord. You know, that old guy that was at the meeting, he came in there, and I remember when the next day when the meeting was over and we were tearing the tent down, and that he came around and he was wanting to hug me and everything. Well, you know, there was a part of me that I didn't want to hug him. There was a part of me wanted to say, see, you look, I wanted to say a lot of things, but you know what? I decided that I would say to him, I decided to say the right thing to him. I said, I hope when another man or woman of God comes in this city that you would encourage them instead of saying things to them like you have said to me. He said, well, I apologize. I'm sorry. I said, well, thank you. Thank you very much. Now, I want to tell you something. Greater is the power of God that's in you. So you have the power of choice, even though sometimes you don't want to make that choice that's right. You have the power of choice. You know, if I was, I don't have time for time's sake, but if I was talking about, if I was to take this and take each letter, for instance, in destiny, and I were to take the letter E, which is the next letter, obviously, I would use the word embrace. What would I embrace in my, what are we to embrace every day? We are to embrace what I've already said, the words of God. See, let's just take the word destiny, D, that's make the right decisions. E, embrace God's goodness. See, sometimes people want us to embrace the wrong things. How many times do young kids and people on drugs and alcohol and what happens? Many times their peers, they embrace their peers rather than embracing what's right. What are you embracing? See, when you go to work, and if there's somebody at work that's talking about the company, maybe the company is not treating you fair. Maybe the pay scale is not what it should be. But if you said yes, if you agreed to the terms, then you should have a good attitude and you should embrace the company and you should do the right thing. Not let the grumblers in the company cause you to be on the grumbling side, but you be on the side of doing the right thing. Is anybody here? Is anybody here? You know, I remember, let me go back to decision. I remember, you know, when I was in Niagara Falls, Ontario, Canada, preaching. I was just a kid. I was 19 years old. Pastor Bob, there was two girls sitting there that just absolutely were just two of the most beautiful people in the world to me that I'd ever seen. One of them was Sharon. The other one was her cousin, Marlene. But I wasn't attracted to Marlene. I was attracted to Sharon. So I thought she was the most beautiful thing, most beautiful person I had ever seen in my life. Well, I could hardly preach for looking at Sharon. I mean, this woman, you know, she had the Jackie, you young people don't even know what I'm talking about now, but she had the Jackie Kennedy hairstyle. You know, back then, they called it tease, but what they'd actually do is wad it up, take the hair and comb it backwards, and they would make their hair just puff up, and then they'd take something and take the top ones and just smooth it over so it looked like they had a beautiful, but they probably did have the beautiful head of hair, but they looked like it was, they looked like it was a big balloon or something, you know, because they combed it backwards, and then they put a can of hairspray on it. And so Sharon, she had one of those big Jackie Kennedy hairstyles, you know, and she was just prettier to me than Jackie Kennedy. And so, but anyway, I remember looking at her, and it's all I could do. I mean, I don't even know what I preached for 4 or 5 nights. But to get to my story, obviously, a few weeks later, we had a revival there in her church, and God just really moved and blessed. My birthday was in January 25. Hers was January the 28th. And so they decided to have a birthday party and celebrate both of our birthdays. Wow. I got to go to the party where I was being celebrated and where Sharon was being celebrated. So that was the beginning of our courtship. And actually, I started to wear them tonight, but I didn't. She bought me a pair of cufflinks, and this was over 54 years ago. She bought me a pair of cufflinks, and I still wear them today. They're still good today. That's what she gave me. I don't remember what I gave her. Probably nothing much because I was poor. But you know what? As time went on, and I asked her to marry me, and she said yes, I got to thinking about that. And I had this young man that was traveling with me, and he was a former rock and roll singer. And, you know, this was before it was popular, but he played his guitar down here like this. I mean, you know, I'd tell him a lot of times, can't you pull that thing up? He said, oh, this is the way it looks. It looks better down here. I can play it better. But he was a former rock and roll singer, and we would sing, and he'd play, and you know, we'd have newspaper reporters come in. I remember we were in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. We rented this big theater building. I'm just a kid, folks. I'm just a kid. But we rented this big theater in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, as big as this, and it was filled up. And the newspaper reporters came in, and we had centerfold, front page. They was talking about these two Southern guys and what we were doing. But all the time, you know, Sharon and I are seeing each other. You know, the meetings are going on. But it got time to be wedding day, real close to wedding day. And I was back in Niagara Falls, and that church let us use the apartment there. They had an apartment for the evangelist. And I remember one night late, I said, you know what? I said, this getting married thing, I said, I'm getting a little nervous. I said, I don't know about this. I'm talking about the rest of my life. Some people, they just get married, and they ain't thinking the rest of their life. They just getting married. Oh, come on now. You know our day we're living in. But it doesn't work. I'll just get a divorce. Well, see, I never had any thoughts like that. Mine was forever. It's been 54 and a half years. We're still together. I never ever thought about divorce. I said, I never thought about divorce. I'm telling you, I might not be preaching good for you, but I'm preaching good for me. And Pastor Bob prayed over me. He said, let me go home blessed. So if I don't bless anybody else, I'm blessing me. You know, sometimes it's good to go back and count the goodness of God, isn't it? Amen. But I remember getting nervous, and I said to the guy, I said, maybe we ought to just get in our car and head south. Just get out of here. He said, now, Don, you know better than that. I said, yeah, but man, this is forever. I said, this is forever. But you know what I did? I went out in the sanctuary, and I began to embrace the presence of God. Pastor Bob Nichols used that scripture a few minutes ago in Psalms. In his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. I remember it went on into 3 o'clock in the morning. I was walking the floor just embracing the presence of the Lord. And I felt the peace of Jesus come in my heart that it was all right for me to do this. I didn't have to think about running. I didn't have to get nervous that I was doing the right thing. I was making the right decision. 54 and a half years later, it's been good. Something was right. And I'm still preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you here this evening? Peace came over me. So I want to say to you, if you are going through a tough time, just start embracing the goodness of God. And then S, the word S in destiny. Say the right things. See, I was saying the wrong thing to my friend. I was saying, we ought to get in the car and get gone. But after I went in and I embraced the Holy Spirit, then I started saying, Lord, you're going to guide my footsteps. You're going to direct me. You have a destiny for me that is good. Is anybody here? And then if I were to go on down to the word, to the letter T, I would use that as think good thoughts. Always think good thoughts. How many times does something happen in our life and we quit thinking good thoughts. How many times do we start thinking the wrong thoughts? See, I've said this so many times in my life, what you think is what you feel. And when the person told me, I just cried all day long. Why did you cry all day long? Because I was thinking about sad things. I've had a lot of sad to happen in my life. You know, I have a wonderful pastor friend that I just went over and spoke for, has a great church. He's just in his 40s, just turned 40. His wife went to heaven with cancer. Got a great church, and they preach healing, and they preach miracles. I don't know why his wife died with cancer. And I told him, I said, I don't know why your wife died with cancer. He's a great man of God. I said, and I encourage you, don't spend your time thinking about why, but spend your time thinking about the good times you've had. She left him three beautiful children that all love God. And I said, that right there is a miracle in itself. See, I'm not going to stand here and pretend to you that everything in life is going to be good because we do the things that I'm talking about, but it helps you get to where you're supposed to go when you start embracing the right thing. I just kept encouraging him, and I talked to him on the phone every now and then, or we text back and forth, and I do nothing but encourage him. I mean, he's okay. He's doing really good. But something happened that he doesn't understand. But he didn't get mad at God. He just kept embracing the goodness of God. Somebody told me that I just can't do that. I just can't do that. I just can't do that. Do you hear people make those statements? I just can't help it. I just can't help it. What you think is what you do. So when you say, I can't help it, you're setting yourself up so you won't fix your thinking. Oh, I know things happen that it disturbs our minds and our emotions, and we're rocking and we're reeling sometimes because of what did happen, whether it's negatively or tragic or loss of a loved one. Like I said, I'm not saying that we're not shaken and that our emotions are not going crazy sometimes, but you just have to start embracing and thinking and saying, I'm an heir of God. I'm a joint heir of Jesus Christ. I'll walk through this. I'll walk by faith. I will not give up. I will not be weary. God is my source. He will make a way. He loves me. He's thinking about me. I win. I win. Somebody help me out. Then if I got to the word I, or the letter I could use a lot of words. I could use increase. I could use impossible. God does the impossible. See, just because some people have died, God has miraculously healed others. I've told this story here before, but it bears repeating. I had carpal tunnel. I had carpal tunnel. It was in 1985. I was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I was preaching a conference with Derek Prince. Derek Prince was a great man of God. And this was a charismatic Catholic mixture of people, and it was huge meetings, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I was hurting so badly. My wrist, my arms was hurting so badly. But when I'd step on the platform, the anointing would come on me and the pain would leave. Now, folks, I can't explain how that happens. All I know is it happened. But I didn't not get in the pulpit because I had pain. But I got there and I believed God. And I remember one night Derek said, "Well, why don't I preach and you lay hands on them?" All right with me? Doesn't matter to me. So Derek Prince preached, and here I was before. This was a different night, but here I was, and he's preaching, and my hands, my arms, my wrists were hurting so badly. It was all I could do to think. But I kept thinking, God, you're the impossible God. You do the impossible for these people. Somehow, I'm going to pray the prayer of faith, and you're going to do miracles tonight. You're going to open the eyes of the blind. And you know, I remember when Derek was speaking. You know, Derek wasn't a big preacher guy like me. He was more of a teacher kind of a person, but he was teaching on healing, and every word he was saying, I was just consuming that. I was believing that, and I was just confessing, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Well, you know what? When I stepped up, when Derek turned the service over to me and I turned it over to me, the pain instantly left. We had a prayer line and I started praying for people. And again, folks, I'm not just telling you stories, but people started being healed all over the auditorium. I'm telling you, it was miraculous how God began to do these miracles. But I remember after the meeting was over that night, the pain was so bad, I couldn't sleep. But I would lay there and I would say, God, you're the impossible God. You're the God of increase. You're the God of increase. You got something good for me. So when I got on the plane, flew back to my home, I went to see my doctor, and he said, Don, you're just going to have surgery. That's all it is. You're just going to have surgery. And I said, well, I don't believe I'm going to have surgery. I believe God has healed. I know he's healed me at Calvary, but I believe I've received it in my body. He said, I don't know anything about that. He said, all I know is you need surgery. I said, well, God will give it to me. He said, I don't know anything about that. But he said, you need surgery. Well, it didn't get any better. And I was invited over here to Dallas. Robert Tilton invited me. Kenneth Copeland was a speaker. Jerry Seville was a speaker. I was a speaker. Marilyn Hickey was a speaker. And I think Kenneth Hagin was a speaker. And I was one of the speakers too. And this was 1985. And I was staying at the hotel they had for their guest speakers. I'll never forget that morning I got up because I was jogging 3 miles a day. And I can still take you to that route. I remember it was early in the morning after I had prayed and after I had sought God. The pain was so bad in my wrist and my hands. But as I began to jog up the road, I was moving my hands back and forth. The pain was so bad. I just embraced. I just spoke. I just believed God that he was going to do the impossible. 3 miles I ran, and when I came back, the pain was so excruciating. It was like, how can I do this? How can I do that? But when I put the key in the door, I'll never forget it. When I put the key in the door and began to turn it, it was like something happened, and all the pain left on both arms. 1985, this is 2016. I've never had a pain in my wrist. Never had a pain in my wrist. Can you say amen? So I want to tell you, he's the God of the impossible. Everybody say, he's the God of impossible. Two quick things. If I were to look at the word in, it's never give up. Everybody say, never give up. See, in your destiny, when it looks like it's not happened, never give up. Here I was in Dallas. A few nights before, I was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. A few nights before, I was in Tampa, Florida. A few nights before, I was in Buffalo, New York. A few nights before, I was in Savannah, Georgia. You know, all of these things going on, and I was in pain, but I never gave up. I knew healing was mine. Everybody say, healing is mine. Everybody say, healing is mine. Never give up. Never give up. I'm just about done. Never give up. The Holy Ghost is so strong. Never give up. Everybody say, never give up. Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad I didn't let the doctors work on my arm. I'm so glad I didn't let them go in and do the surgery. I'm so glad I waited. Are you listening? If I were to get to the why, I would say yes to everything God wants me to do. Everybody say yes. See, Pastor Bob, when I was 15 years of age, somebody said 15, you didn't even know what you was doing. Well, there's a lot of that is true, but I did know enough. When I went down there that night, I said an eternal yes to the Lord. And when he called me to the ministry, I said yes. Now, all the things in between never changed that yes. See, how many times have you let the things, when you said something or you said yes, and you said it then, but now, how many times? You know, somebody told me the other day, good person, that I made this decision and we did this. And I just keep second guessing myself. I said, you're already there. Leave it be. Go on. You said yes. Don't say maybe now. Don't say I wish I had enough. You did a good thing. You did a good thing. Yeah, but what if? I said, no. You said yes. Let your yes be yes. As I finish this, let's not go home tonight and ponder back and forth. Let's not go back and reason back and forth. We said yes to Jesus. And when we say yes to Jesus, there is nothing that's more important than saying yes to Jesus. When the angel came to Mary and said, you found favor, you'll bear a child. She said, I've never been with a man. How can this be? And the angel began to explain to her. And she said, okay, yes. Mary said, yes, I'll be the mother. Yes, the Holy Spirit can plant the seed in my womb. Yes, conception can take place. Yes, the baby can grow in my womb. Yes, I will deliver the baby when it's time for the baby to be born. She didn't change her mind from the time she said yes till the time Jesus was born. Joseph, he had doubts, he had questions, but the angel came to Joseph and said, what's happening? It's of God. So once he said yes, he didn't let the shame, he didn't let what somebody thought, he didn't let what somebody might say change his mind. Joseph said yes. My goodness. Fifty-eight years ago, when I said yes to the call of God, I've never let the in-betweens, cause me to falter or second guess or say maybe I wasn't really called. I can't communicate like Pastor Bob Nichols. Great communicator. You listen to him on the radio, and you just have to listen. What's he going to say next? What's he going to say next? It's that voice. That voice and those words. You just the anticipation is, you can't turn the radio off. You got something to do. You pull up in your car, and you stop, and you wait, because that voice. That voice is speaking. What's he going to say? What's he going to say? I got to hear it. But see, I've never compared my ability to his. You know, I am great friends with a lot of people and grateful. And we've been fortunate to be friends with Joyce Meyer for years. We've been fortunate. When I met Joyce Meyer years ago, and she asked me, would I lay hands on her and pray for her to have this anointing, to pray for the sick, to cast out devils. And I looked at her, and I could have said, yeah, everybody says this, but I took it to heart. I agreed with her. I prayed with her. That night, there's a little church. She said, I've said yes to the Lord. I've said yes to the Lord. Look at Joyce Meyer today. One of the largest ministries in the world right now. One of the largest ministries in the world. And do you know, can I have one more minute just to finish this? Joyce was abused, horribly abused. I can't even imagine. I have no way of relating to the pain that a person would go through like that. I have no way of relating or understanding, and I'm not making fun or light. I'm trying to show you compassion here, that I have compassion. But let me show you something. Joyce made a right decision. Amen. She embraced the right things. She thought the right things. She believed in the impossible. She thought the right things. She said the right things. She said yes. But she had a brother. He didn't have to go through what she went through. He went to Vietnam and he did get on drugs and stuff, but came back. She went on serving God and he went the way of the world and was living near Miracle Valley, Arizona. He wasn't a Christian, but one day he saw her on television and he called her up and he said, sis, I need what you got. I need what you got. I know I hadn't had anything to do with you and didn't believe in all that stuff. She sent him money and he came home. For a couple of years, he really did well. He really did well. And I remember one day he started having thoughts of his old life. He started remembering things he didn't need to remember. He started going back on some of the things that he had said yes to. So he started digging back. He started digging up the old instead of staying with the future. He went to the past. Folks, I'm trying to help tonight. He went back, and when he did, you know, he became unfocused. And when he did, it was no one day and yes one day and yes. And so one day she called me up and she said, can I send David down there? Not her husband, but her brother. Can I send David down? His name was David, too. Can I send him down there with you? And so he came and spent some time with me, and I'd get up at 5:30 in the morning with David, go wake him up, and we'd go to prayer, and we spent time together. One day, Pastor Bob let me borrow his motorcycle, and I rode his motorcycle, and David rode mine. So we went motorcycle riding all over Fort Worth and everywhere, and we'd stop and pray, and we'd ride motorcycles, we'd pray. But I could see David was vacillating. No matter what we did, no matter how much I talked the Bible, no matter how much I prayed, David vacillated. I said, David, you got to focus. You got to focus. You got to focus. Finally, I called Joyce. I said, David's coming home. She said, well, how did he do? I said, well, that's only David can tell you that. I can't get inside. Only David can tell you that. He came and finally told Joyce, said, well, I'm going back to my old life. He went back to his old life. And it wasn't too long till she got a phone call to where David took his own life. Now, as I finish, I started off talking about decisions. Joyce was abused, but she made a decision to do the right thing. And David vacillated with his decisions. One day, yes. One day, no. One day, maybe. See, it can't be maybe. It has to be yes. And once it's yes, you never change. I hope somebody got something out of this tonight. My race is not run. My race is not finished. My race is still in the process. You know, sometimes younger people look at me and they say things about, you know, and I don't feel like they think. Because I have gray hair and I have had all of these experiences and I have been places. Just because I'm not where they are, I don't let their thoughts determine the end of my race. Pastor Bob, our race has not finished. A lot of you, I want to tell you, your race is not done. Your race is not done. David, I want you to come up here a minute, would you? Is that your new wife? Come on up here, both of you. I just want to lay hands on this couple. I saw where you just got married recently, and I know you preach here some, and you're an evangelist, and I want us all to believe God for this couple. I just sense that, you know, if you can hear tonight, there will never be a maybe. Am I really called? You said, I'm not questioning. I'm not even saying that you are. I'm not even insinuating or anything. But we all have moments in our life. And when these moments come, did I really do the right thing? When these things come, remember to stay on the yes side. Don't let it get long enough to ever say maybe. Don't. Is anybody listening to me tonight? See, this is why we miss the mark many times, is because we've said a yes, but we hadn't let it be eternal. And when things begin to happen, then we begin to question our yes. We begin to question our yes, so when we question our yes, we question the destiny God has for us. And so, I've not questioned my destiny. Well, I've had moments, David. I've had moments when things has happened. My mind has wanted to say, am I really called? But that was only for a few seconds. Because I said yes. I had to think the right thoughts. I had to embrace the right things. I made a decision. Yes. And you know what? It's amazing. God just keeps opening doors in places I've never been. Isn't it amazing? Places I've never been. I got, one day this week, I got a call in the morning, and I got a call in the night from two different places that's not in America, and both said, we'll pay your expenses and treat you really good if you'll come. And they were both asking for the same dates. So how, you have to know who to say yes to or no to. Amen. But I want you to believe God. Would somebody come and stand behind these? I just want to believe God with you that both of you enter in to the realm that you're called. I don't know anything about you, but I just like you. I like your spirit. Sorry I couldn't come to your wedding, but I didn't even get an invite, so I shouldn't be, I guess. Father, I thank you for this couple. I thank you for this call. Now, Lord, I read the scripture that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. What's your name? I ask you, Lord, to bless these two beautiful people as they have embarked on their destiny together now. They're no longer one, but they're no longer separate, but they're one. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that as they begin to pray and as they seek you about their future, those doors that are open, let them not just walk through a door because a door opens. Let them know the right door to say yes to. And Father, you just bless them going in, and you bless them going out. And Lord, you just make them so strong together. Let her let him know his part, and let them complement each other in every situation. In every situation, let them complement each other. And I anoint their feet, Lord. I anoint their feet. He said, bless those that bring good news. Bless the feet of those. Bless the feet of those that bring good news. I bless your feet. I bless your feet. I bless your steps. God, you give them partners. You give them people to stand behind them to where they never have to allow their emotions to get fearful or afraid. But you open the windows of heaven and direct their steps. In Jesus' name I pray. In Jesus' name I pray. In Jesus' name I pray. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, that you use these hands when they're laid upon people for healing to take place, for miracles to take place. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Give them a hand clap of praise, would you? I don't say this in any other way but to help you, but if there's been some areas, and I want you to just stand. If there's been some areas you've been maybe vacillating and you've been struggling with the yes, with the maybe, and you want to get on that yes side and stay on that yes side, I want you to stand on your feet where you are. It's okay. Nobody's going to think anything, because I told you. That's it. Come on. Anybody else? I want to pray with you tonight. I want to believe God. I want to believe God with you. Don't be ashamed. Don't think about what somebody else might think if you stand up. And we don't think anything other than you want to stay on the right side. You want to stay on the right side of yes. So anybody else, real quickly. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for all of you that are standing. Now I want us to just pray in the Holy Ghost for a minute, and y'all just stand there for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Brother Sullivan, is that you back there? Is that Brother Sullivan? Bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just pray in the Holy Ghost. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Father, here I am as your servant. And those that are home that are struggling, those that are home that are struggling right now, and they're vacillating between yes or maybe, maybe or yes, or I'm not sure. I pray, Holy Spirit, right now, that one at home, everyone standing here, help them right now that the struggle is removed. Help them right now that the struggle is removed. Come on, everybody, believe God with me right now. Help them that the struggle is removed. No more struggle, no more vacillating back and forth. But Father, today they know for sure they're on the yes side, and they're going to stand on your word. They're not going to vacillate. They're not going to give up. They're not going to give up. They're embracing. They're embracing what you told them to do. They're embracing it now. They're embracing your word. They know that they succeed in the name, come on, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Now everybody put your hands up and let's just thank God for these. Let's thank God for these, that they're not going to struggle when they get back in the circumstance. They're not going to struggle. They're going to say, it's done. It's done. It's done. It's done. It's done. Real quickly, now you may be seated. If there's anyone in this room, you've not made Jesus Lord of your life. Now I made a statement. I didn't say if you've never prayed the prayer of salvation, if you've never made Jesus Lord of your life. I've never said it this way. This is my first time to ever say it this way. But if you've never made Jesus Lord of your life and you want him to be Lord of your life, I want you to hold up your hand and say, Pastor, I want you to pray for me. I want to make Jesus Lord of my life. Anybody in the room? Is anybody in the room? You've never made him Lord of your life, and you want him in your life. You want him to be Lord. You want Jesus to be Lord. Is there anybody? I never want to have a service and not give people the opportunity to pray. You at home, you that are watching at home. Somebody said, well, why would anybody watch internet and not be saved? Well, because they need something. So if you're home and you've never made Jesus Lord, let's all stand on our feet and let's pray this prayer together. Let's all pray this prayer together. Dear Lord, I come to you now. Forgive me of my shortcomings, my wrongs, my failures when I've missed the mark. I love you, Lord. Forgive me for my mistakes and my sin. Jesus, I make you Lord of my life today. I thank you, Lord, for giving me victory, giving me strength to walk by faith and not by sight. Jesus, you are Lord of my life, and I give you praise and I give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Pastor Bob, come on, let's just give Jesus a hallelujah, would you?